You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
Hey, it's your boy Tom here, and we are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast. Woo, fellas, it is the year of the black man, so we are going to let D'Angelo kick off the podcast.
So we're going to revisit that. We're going to stick a pin in that one, and we're going to revisit, because I was going to say this is the year of the white woman. So let me get to this, because Gary's not going to like this, and I've been waiting all week for this. I just want to let y'all know that we pushed this podcast back to Wednesday because we had knew that Caitlin Clark's first game would be on Tuesday, and we would want to talk about it on Wednesday. So thank you, Caitlin Clark, for allowing us to move our podcast and allowing us to cover you. So back to what I was going to say. I was looking all weekend and all week for, you know, something to say. And then I thought I'd talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, Gary. And it didn't used to be this way at all. Because Gary and I had a conversation about a certain basketball player and who we thought was the best. And he had some names that he named. And I just want to roll off this list. We're talking about some of the greatest college basketball women that we have ever seen. This is the list, and the number doesn't matter, because what I'm gonna say at the end of this does. At number 10, they got Bridget Gordon from Tennessee from 1985 to 1989. Ninth is Kelsey Plum, 2013 to 2017. Number 8, Sherrill Swoopes, 1989 to 1991, and then Texas Tech from 1991 to 1993. I don't know if people knew that she played for two colleges, but she did. At number 7, Shamika Hosqua. I remember this name. 1995 to 1999. Number 6, Lynette Woodard, Kentucky, 1977 to 1981. Number 5, Sabrina. I can't say her last name. I don't want to butcher it. Oregon, 2016 to 2020. Number 5. And number 4, Breanna Stewart. We all know that name. UConn, 2012 to 2016. Greatest women's collegiate players of all time. Number 3, Candace Parker. I think she's a little low at number 3, but from 2004 to 2008. At number 2, Diana Taurasi. Gary loves her. 2000 to 2004. Now, she may be the greatest collegiate female basketball player of all time, in Gary's opinion. At number 1, Cheryl Miller. Nobody can really argue with that. 1982 to 1986. I'm saying all that to say this. Every one of those women went into the WNBA and didn't have the impact that Caitlin Clark has had. And you're going to tell me that she's not one of the greatest, if not the greatest, female collegiate player of all times? She is players like Breanna Stewart, players like Diana Taurasi. These are the players that are thanking Caitlin Clark for allowing them to fly private on private jets, because her fame is too famous for her to go through the airports. So they were all thanking her, and, you know, there's videos popping up and stuff like that. Also, I've never watched the WNBA, Gary, ever. I've never sat down on purpose and watched the WNBA game. I did yesterday. And you know why I did that? Because I wanted to watch the Fever play. Caitlin Clark finished with 20 points. They lost 92-71. Gary, yeah, I want to make sure I point that out. They lost 92-71. She had 20 in her debut. Gary, I'm going to tell you something. All those women that I just named, every one of those women that I just named in the top 10 plus Caitlin Clark, there's only one woman in that whole crowd that I named, Gary, that sells out arenas, Gary. You know who that is?
Brianna Stewart.
She never sold out a WNBA game.
Candace Parker.
You don't want to say Caitlin Clark. You don't want to say it. You don't want to say
that. You said that was in the top 10. She wasn't in the top 10.
No, I'm saying females that I named. I said there was only one female that I named, including the top 10, including. There's only one that sells out arenas, Gary. That's Caitlin Clark. But I just want to hear what you have to say, because you, again, don't agree that Caitlin Clark is the needle mover that she moved. Guess what, Gary? Everybody's talking about the pay that they get. Caitlin Clark is the only WNBA player that I know that has a $20 million contract reportedly from Nike. So if that doesn't move the needle, then what does? So when it comes to being the greatest, Gary, this is very similar to the Tom Brady argument. Tom Brady was so good that when the mistakes that he made, or when he borderline cheated, new rules were put in place for that. That was the impact to the game, where everybody now has to follow those rules. Caitlin Clark has done that, Gary, and she hadn't stepped on the hardwood floor yet. So before she put up 20, and by the way, she's averaging 20 points a game, Gary. With that being said, but before she even averaged the 20 points a game, Gary, before she even stepped on the hardwood, before she stepped on any court or shot any basketball, she had already created change. There's no other basketball player or sports figure that has done that. Caitlin Clark, man, just go ahead and give her a due, man. I just wanted to kick the podcast off by saying that, because I know we had our conversation about it the last couple of weeks, or maybe last week, or how I just wanted to point out the fact that me and Gary have decided that we're getting matching Fever jerseys to represent Caitlin Clark. But go ahead, Gary. I just want to hear your thoughts.
It's going to be very interesting to see them in the top three picks of the draft again next year. She really had a real big impact on that team.
So you're telling me that they're going to have a losing record at the end of this WNBA season?
They're not going to. I don't think they're going to be as good as you're making them out to be. They look terrible from the stats I look, because obviously I didn't watch the game. I have no interest. I'm not interested in women's. I don't even watch men's basketball very often. So, you're talking about influence to the game. Yes. You can say everything you want. You brought up the shoe deal. You can't bring up a shoe deal. Jordan created a whole new segment of Nike called Jordan. So, like, no, she's not going to have that. There's not going to be a whole segment of shoe that's dedicated to her. So, like, you can't bring up shoes or something, because there's somebody that's done it bigger and better and will never get surpassed by anybody. Nobody will ever pass the Jordan brand for creating a merchandise of anything type of shoe. So, yeah, she got a shoe deal. She also got offered $5 million. Other players didn't get that. I agree. But is that what is the reasoning for it? Well, when Diana Taurasi was playing, social media, Facebook was just being created. So there was no social media for her to get that name up. Brianna Stewart had it, but Brianna Stewart's a big. She's not a guard. It's not a sexy pick. So you have a shooter. Guys, like you always say, Steph. Steph gets a lot of love because he can shoot. She's a shooter, too, who went 5-for-15 in her first game. It's not very good for a shooter. I'm just saying.
It's an off night, bro.
For first game, you can't have an off night. Your first game, everybody's looking forward to you. You're talking about bringing change. Yes, she's brought awareness to the game more than it's gotten recently, and hopefully they can capitalize on it. You made the big deal about them getting to fly private. Well, yes, two teams did. You know, there's other teams that played that didn't fly private. They flew commercial still. Angel Reese's team flew commercial. She didn't fly private because they're rolling out only certain teams at a time are flying private. So not every team is to start. They're going to roll out certain teams will fly private, not every team every game. So it's a pick by association right now on who's getting to pick the fly private. So is that really benefiting everybody, or is it only benefiting the person that they wanted to make the face of the league right now? So it's not really benefiting everybody. And oh, let me refresh my mouth.
You're such an asshole, Gary.
But it just until everything is fully backed, like if everybody's flying private and it continues more than a year, okay, you can say she brought change. If it only lasts for a year and then disappears, then she didn't really bring anything. They just capitalized on her name for the first year and it disappeared to play off of that name. And that's what Delta, who partnered with the WNBA, is trying to capitalize on that name for the time being. Smart business move by them because it gets more business for them possibly because, hey, they're official charter of the WNBA. So it gets some goodwill and all that kind of stuff. Now the question is, will it continue? Do I think it will? No. Gary. Do I think they'll still have private for 5 years, 5 years from now? No.
Hold on, Gear.
Do I think they should? Yes, but I don't think
Did they you will just say them. That them taking on the WNBA was in goodwill?
No, I said it gives them goodwill.
You said it like this was a charitable donation.
No, it gives them goodwill because no other airline's done it before. So they're the first. So they're going to get a goodwill for doing that, for being the first to do it. I think they'll still have private flights 5 years from now? No. It all depends on how they capitalize on the momentum they have right now. Like you said, she's sold out. But if she goes out and they don't win, and they win, they're like 5-15, they ain't going to be selling out anymore. People ain't going to be showing up to her games anymore. They're not winning. She has to win for that momentum to stay there. If she can't turn the team around, who had a number one pick the year before, too, if those two can't win games and turn it around, that sun is going to start to fade. Because it's like you know this, it's all based around winning. And why was she not in the top 10 of greatest college women's players? Because she didn't win anything. She won games. She didn't win titles. And all those, I'm pretty sure every girl, woman that you named on that top 10 won multiple titles in college, which means they impacted the game more for their team than Caitlin Clark did because she couldn't win the games.
Okay. So,
yeah. Well, I want to hear Time's opinion first before. Because I have a feeling he's in between. I think he's a mix of both of us.
Oh, sorry, boys. I fell asleep. it's crazy to me that D even has this talk because you know they don't just make that change about the planes because of Caitlin Clark. I mean, yes, you know, was I tuned in to watch that game today? Yes. Will I tune in to watch the next game? No. I'm back. You know, until she shows me something. You know, she's going to have to go on another one of those runs where she's, you know, looking Steph Curry-ish before everybody's going to be all excited because we've seen it too much. I mean, it's not just about Caitlin Clark, but look, it's happened in the NBA too. Jimmer Fredette, how exciting was he to watch in college just to become a G League All-Star? You know, so it's hard to say. But I hope she does do well because it was an exciting time in women's sports. I mean, I think the most important thing that came out this week for women's basketball was their Skims ad. I don't know if you saw that. They did a social media campaign where they filmed or they took photographs of a bunch of the more attractive WNBA players in some Skims. You know, it's the official underwear of the WNBA and the NBA, I believe, the Kim Kardashian underwear company. And they released that ad. It was all over social media yesterday. So, so that's that. But, I mean, to me, Caitlin Clark, she's going to find her zone. You know, yes, she had a rough first night out. not everybody, you know, can have a good debut like LeBron or somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just hard. It's hard for people to come out and live up to the hype.
So just real quick, and I don't mean to cut you off. How many games? I know you said you tuned in the first game. She gave you 20. She went 4 from 11 from 3 points. She had 10 turnovers, bro.
She's pretty good.
Huh? I'm just saying that, like, double, this double, is not double.
Double double,
baby.
So she had 20 points. She gave you 20 on the first night. Like, what would you rather have? And I get it. Her putting up 10 to 12 or 8 points a game and they win, or her put up 20, 30, 40 and they lose. Like, what does Caitlin Clark has to do to keep all this attention on her?
Well, she has to drop 30, 40 points and they lose. Don't nobody care about her team winning if she's
scoring. I disagree. I think she's got to drop 20 to 25 and win.
No, but if they score 8, he didn't say that. He said 8 to 10 points and they win.
But I'm saying that's what needs to happen. I think they need a win, and it shows that she can be the reason they win.
Gary.
Otherwise, everything's gone.
Gary, answer the question. 8 to 10 points and they win, or 30 or 40 points and they lose? Which one?
Neither.
Oh, hell.
I think if she puts up 30 or 40 and they win 5 games on the season and she's averaging 30 or 40, she's not helping her team win.
That's what you, the hype
train. That's your whole argument with LeBron when he was in the Cavs. Oh, he was able to win without a lot of talent around him. So she should be able to, too, if she's that good, right?
Well, she's not LeBron, though. That's the thing. Yeah, right.
I'm talking about, but in D's eyes, she is.
So this is what I find very funny. How you are about LeBron is how Gary dislikes Caitlin Clark.
No. Let's clarify. There's no dislike towards Caitlin Clark. I just think it's overhyped on everything going in. That's all. I think everybody has to temper it and see how she does. Because if she comes out the first year and averages 17 to 22 points a game and they win 7 games, her star's gone.
Okay, so what if she's averaging 20, 25, and they make the playoffs?
Then you have that star going.
I'm not talking about first or second seed. I'm talking about they barely make it.
Them to the playoffs. That will be the story that's ran. She got the team to the playoffs. That was number one pick last year. Okay. Now, granted, was there only 10 teams in the WNBA? How many teams are in the WNBA?
I mean, I don't know how many teams.
We'll fact check that. Hold on.
Yeah, not only how many teams in the WNBA, like what is the Indiana Fever's record over the last 5 or 10 years?
There's only 12 teams in the WNBA.
Oh wow!
How many WNBA teams make playoffs? Because if 6 of them make it and she doesn't make it, that's a failure.
Wow, Gary.
Hold on. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
8 teams make the playoffs out of the 12. So if she can't be one of the 8 teams to make the playoffs, she didn't succeed.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure, Gary.
8 teams out of 12.
Gary, we got to look at
two number one picks in a row.
Right. You know what that means, Gary? That means that
they should have two really good players.
They have not been part of the 8 teams.
I know that means they should have two good players to lead them to the promised land of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we make the playoffs. So the making the playoffs doesn't sound difficult at all, Gary, if there's 12 teams and 8 teams make it.
Correct.
So, like, is the litmus test still playoffs?
I think she still combines with the amount of points she puts up, too.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to ask. I mean, I don't know what any of
So just for reference, because you asked, last year they got the number one pick with 13 wins. They were 13 and 27.
They played 40 games?
Yeah, the 3 years before that, they were 5 and 31. 6 and 26 And then in the shortened 2020, they were 6-16.
Damn, Gary, they've never had a winning record.
They made the playoffs from 2005 to 2016.
Oh, okay.
Every year within those years, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's
probably that was probably when it was only 10 teams.
And, no, they had more teams. They had 16, I think, at that time. They lost teams.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And look, Caitlin Clark comes back and Golden State's getting a team. So she's already expanded in WNBA.
I'm glad that that's what it's gonna take, Gary, and I didn't wanna go this route, but since we are talking about basketball, and Tom, you are the resident super LeBron James fan club. Can you please explain to me why LeBron James would go to a Cleveland game and watch them play in the game? Is this him watching? What?
He's the son of Cleveland. He ain't got to explain that and why he went to a Cleveland game. He's still in the community. He still has a school there. Come on now.
Now, how's that school doing?
Oh, they're doing great. Now, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
So hold on, Tom. Let me make sure I get this straight. So all season, there was a lot of Cav games he could have attended. There's no significance in him attending this Cavs game. He hadn't attended them in the past.
Well, it's because he's been in the playoffs still, probably, and the Cavs hadn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's out the playoffs. The Cavs are still in it. He's a basketball junkie. Other people come and watch him play. You know, he's had his boys come and watch him play. Why can't he go back to his hometown and watch a basketball game courtside with his own bottle of wine? You know. And just maybe he just wants to put it out there. He's a free agent, so somebody picks up his son. Because, you know, Bronny is attending the combine right now.
Yeah, can we talk about that? He listed 6'4", and he measured in at 6'1"?
6'1 and a half, sir.
That's terrible. That is terrible.
He did have 40-and-a-half-inch vertical, though.
No, that's not a vertical. Yeah. Well, not a vertical. vertical. Let's clarify what a vertical is, because the NBA players don't do a vertical. NFL players do at the combine. There's a big difference.
Yes, true.
A vertical is directly straight up. No drop step, no running, no moving, straight up. That's a vertical. They don't do that in the NBA. They do a running vertical.
Well, it's because how often are you doing a straight up and down vertical?
Well, that's why NFL players are more explosive, because you go straight up. You have guys who jump 40 inches straight up without having a run. That's more explosive.
You have freaks, but most of y'all jump 2 feet off the ground or 2 inches off the ground, which means?
Doesn't matter. Well, we have more athletic people. Shoot, if I could run and jump, if I could have ran and jumped at the combine, I'd have had a 36, 38-inch vert. I could run in and jump, and obviously I'd jump a lot higher than I do for a vert.
Can you still dunk a basketball?
Easily.
Easy?
Yeah.
I need to see this next time I come to the compound.
No problem.
well, he does have a 6'7" wingspan. That's pretty good.
He's 6'1".
So finish this sentence for me, Tom, and then finish this sentence for me, Gary. LeBron James plays for blank next season.
JJ Redick.
He's not talking about the coach, but he's talking about the team. So you're saying he stays in the Lakers.
Yeah, he's going to be in the Lakers. JJ Redick's going to be his coach. Bronny's going to fall to the second round where the Lakers will pick him up.
Hold on. He's not going to fall. He's going to get drafted early in the second round because he shouldn't be drafted at all.
He's going to fall to the second round because he could be a top 10 pick if you really think about it. Because what I'm saying is the impact that somebody like Bronny is going to just have on your team from a financial standpoint may be worth it, because it's not like this class that's coming out is that good. They're talking about this might be one of the weakest classes of all time.
And Bronny shouldn't even be drafted in the two rounds. That should tell you something.
What I'm saying is that, and that's what I'm saying, is like the impact that you're going to have from him could be so much more than just a guy that you think is a top 10 pick.
Jordan doesn't own the Hornets anymore, right?
Partial. He sold most of his stake.
So I was talking to my buddies the other day. They said, how awesome would it be if the Hornets draft Bronny and put him in the G League?
Just to like son LeBron one more.
Ah, that's funny.
Well, because realistically, that's where he deserves to be. He's not an NBA caliber talent.
I don't should understand. Have
stayed another year in college.
This is what I don't understand, and y'all hadn't helped me understand this at all. I still don't understand how it happens in Europe where they can go over there and play 9,600 minutes a game, average 2 points, and go top five in the NBA. I don't understand that, but I mean,
none of the players that are averaging 2 points in Europe, they're all the one of the best players in Europe that get drafted.
But you get what I'm saying, though. Like when they in these other leagues, not necessarily Europe, but around the globe, when we draft these
so players. I'll give you why.
The question that I have is for y'all to tell me, and this blows my mind. I've been trying to figure this out, Tom, and you can help me because I may just be a five-star hater. I don't know. But tell me how Bronny James wasn't good enough to start in the top five at USC, but he's a top five or 10 pick in the NBA draft or a second round pick, but none of the guys on it doesn't make sense to me, Gary. He has what it takes to make it in the NBA, but he doesn't have what it takes to play at USC.
It's all just because of the name. If it was based off of just blind, if you covered his name and you didn't see his name and you based it off of talent, he would not be drafted.
But see, so here's the thing though, Gary. What do I get off of his name though?
You're trying to get LeBron and you're trying to that's what you're hoping for. You're trying to get LeBron to come to your team. You're not getting anything else. Because if LeBron chooses to stay in the Lakers and Bronny's on a different team, you're not getting – he's not playing for you that year. He may not even make your team if he's a second rounder and he's not with LeBron. If LeBron doesn't come to you, he's probably not making your team. And then when that doesn't happen, then he signs a free agent deal to go play with his dad.
So the only benefit to getting Bronny James is getting his dad.
Correct. I think that's the only thing, the possibility of getting his dad. Because like Time said, it'd bring in a lot of money and revenue, but you're not getting that unless LeBron comes. So if LeBron does not come, you're not getting that revenue or that because he's not good enough to get the eyes on everything. And just to answer your question, because you asked about why do players overseas that never play in college get picked? Because overseas basketball is a lot tougher than college and pro. Like they can foul you. It's like the 80s and 90s of basketball where you can actually get hit and knocked down. So if they're putting up 30 points and that kind of thing, what do you think they're going to do in the lax in NBA where they can't get touched? That's why Luka dominates, because Luka was able scoring as a 15, 16-year-old on grown men getting hammered overseas, and then he comes here, he can't get touched. It's easy for him. That's why he drops 30. All the time and averages it made it easier for him. That's why Jokic, same thing, a second round pick, gets beat up over there, comes here, has no problem. Now there's definitely guys that didn't pan out, but that is why you see a lot of foreign players succeed here, because the basketball is just, it's more physical over there. Now you don't have as much talent, that's why it's more physical. Time, you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah,
realistically, on Bronny. Obviously, we know the LeBron stuff, but.
Well, the thing about Bronny is, you know, obviously we didn't get to see a full season, I think, of him.
God.
Well, no, I mean, God, D, let's be honest. He was recovering from a pretty serious cardiac event. Like, come on now, that's a lot. I mean, I don't care. He had to get medically cleared by the
NBA. He was coming off the bench, Tom. Even before the medical incident.
No, it happened in preseason. What are you talking about? It happened before the season started. So it's.
You're telling me Bronny James would have started for USC?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know. I know. I mean, here's the thing.
I don't know why I talk to you.
I think he's good enough that he could be a valuable role player if his defense can translate to the NBA, because that's at least what we hear. He's an elite defender. And if his three-pointers can hit, you know, he went, what, 19 of 25 in that shooting drill, whatever, one of the three-point drills.
Uncovered, and, correct.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's still good. That's still good. Still good. He was second. So, I mean, all those other people that are supposed to be top 10 picks.
What round are you taking him then, Ty? You sound like you're a fan.
Him what? First overall.
I'm taking what? Realistically.
Realistically, I'm taking him first overall.
No, that's a lie. That's a way to destroy your franchise.
You know what, man? I hate this podcast sometimes.
I mean, let's look people that said, oh, this is a no doubt number one overall, Kwame Brown. What happened?
I never said he was one no doubt.
Greg, you know what I'm saying? Like, or Greg Oden.
Greg Oden was. He just got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. That's what I'm saying. Any player that you pick can be somebody that derails your franchise. What you know you're getting.
The players you just said, nobody assumed that they were going to be, like, great players.
What? No. People thought that they were great players. Come on now.
We didn't think they were going to be great NBA players.
Yes, no, the problem is you're saying you can't say Bronny could be number one, would be number one, because your whole hope is that LeBron comes there. If LeBron doesn't come there, you destroy your team.
And you said
you're
that,
not helping your team.
You said that.
Right. I don't.
So even if you don't LeBron, get LeBron, that does not help your team at all.
If LeBron doesn't come, you're still going to get media coverage.
No, you're not. Why would they cover him?
We just talked about how we've seen all of his combine stats.
But like, why would they cover him when he's coming off the bench, getting 2 points a game and playing 5 minutes? They won't cover that. Cover it the first 2 weeks, it'll disappear.
They'll find a reason.
No, because the first 2 weeks and then it disappears. That's what will happen. If he doesn't do anything, which he won't, that's the problem.
Okay. All right. Let's just go off what if he does? What if he does come on and impact and does 20 points a game? And what's the impact of that going to be having LeBron James Jr. on your team dropping 20 points a game?
Correct. Yes, it would. But what is the likelihood of that happening? The thing is, there was three players on his own high school team that were better than him that went to college that are also in this draft.
Like, he was a McDonald's All-American.
Because of his name.
Exactly.
It was nothing to do with him.
Exactly. So that's why you draft him, because of his name. It has nothing to do with his ability.
If you're trying to win as an organization, that is not going to help you win.
Well, what if you're one of these organizations that are just so far off from winning right now?
Well, the Hawks aren't that, though. That's what I'm saying at one. The Hawks are not that.
Oh, the Hawks are a Bronny James away from a championship, baby. An elite 3-and-D guy? Woo!
I don't know where he became this 3-and-D guy. But
hey. I don't know where are you okay, Tom?
3-and-D! What? I'm just saying, I see it. I hadn't even been smoking today. I ain't been drinking. I see it. I see a way.
And you're probably the only person in the world that sees it, other than his dad.
Well, if any spawn from my glorious king is going to have a chance to be great.
Actually, the younger one's better.
That's right. So LeBron's going to be the first player to play with both of his sons in the NBA.
No, his other son's still 2 years away. He's a junior in high school.
LeBron's going to be playing for another 5 years.
No chance.
He's going to be player coaching, coming off the bench, dropping 15, 7, and 8.
So you said he going to Tony Parker that thing.
He going to LeBron that thing, because ain't nobody ever did it. Ain't nobody ever did what he going to do.
Man, look.
I hate that we even brought up LeBron.
I got a question for you, Tom.
Oh, I got one more question. One more question when it comes to basketball.
Okay, go ahead.
Y'all got anybody y'all want to rag on that for some of these NBA games this past couple nights, or not? Everything's good. Everything's
How I expected. So far, I didn't expect the Nuggets to lose their first two games, but
what about Luka missing a free throw down by two? Could have tied it up with less than 10 seconds left.
I never have said that Luka's clutch.
One word Everyone likes to talk about, look at this, look at that. We ain't heard one word about how he missed that free throw. If it had been LeBron James that did that, it would have been all over the news for the next 3 days.
Well, that's because LeBron's known for that, though, choking.
No.
Luka's his first opportunity. He hasn't had these opportunities often. It's like, you got to get an opportunity. Yeah, now he can get the clutch. We don't even call Luka clutch because Luka hasn't shown he can do it.
He has. He's made some clutch shots.
He's made some clutch shots, but not when the game's on the line. There's a whole different thing. LeBron's known to miss them. That's the whole thing.
To be the one of the most clutch players of all time. I got you. We got
talking about when games matter, like in the playoffs, not regular season when they don't care about the games. None of those are memorable. Like that, you can remember the block more than you remember any shot he's hit in the playoffs.
Well, that was the most significant one because it was in the finals.
And I can name four Jordan shots that everybody remembers.
Can we move on? Can we be gentlemen and conduct business like this podcast is supposed to be conducted?
You don't want to throw us here.
I have a great question for you, Tom, and I have a great question for you, Gary. And you're going to know where I'm going with this, Gary, but Tom may not, and I want to know. Tom, what would it take to make you...
$1 billion. Oh, sorry.
...a believer in something?
It
depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, break it down.
So if I said I'm a good basketball player, how would I make a believer out of you? Like, would you have to see me, like if I told you I was a good basketball player, Tom, and you had never seen me play, what would I have to do to make a believer out of you that I can play basketball?
I'd have to see you play basketball, and you'd be good.
Well, here's the thing, though. I can have a game of my life.
One night, put up 40 points and you come out and see me, does that mean I can play basketball?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you trying to say your LA Fitness nice or are you trying to say your NBA nice? I think it'll depend on what.
I'm telling you I'm nice at basketball. Nobody tells you what level. Like if I told you I'm nice at pickleball, you wouldn't be like, oh, okay, let's go play pickleball. How would you know I'm nice? Like what would make you a believer and something to somebody if they said that they was doing something? Because I'm going to tell you something, Tom. You can tell me that you can play basketball and we can go to the YMCA and you can drop 40, and I still don't believe you can play basketball.
I got you. I mean, yeah, this
he's not dropping 40, though.
He's not even going to come close. I'm asking you, Tom, what does it take for you to believe in somebody when they said that they do something?
Well, that's like what I'm saying.
I play golf.
If you're saying you're good at golf, I would say I would need you to at least be able to shoot par to think you're good.
You can quantify that because golf is based around a score. Basketball is different. Basketball is subjective because, like you said, you could have an off shooting day. You could be on fire one day and everything's falling. The talent you could be playing is bad and it makes you look better. Like that's more subjective.
Yeah. Just very similar to football and all these other things. Because if I
can't. No. Football's a big difference. You can say you're good at football until you put pads on. You got to have pads on and all that kind of stuff.
I could tell you right now that I'm the number one receiver in all of the National Football League.
I've seen your hands. I know that's a lie.
No, you're not understanding. I could be Justin Jeffries. I could be
Justin Jeffries.
You know who I'm saying.
Jefferson.
Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. Like everything's subjective to like who people are a fan of. And then you get into numbers. I'm asking you, like if I told you like, hey, I got the best hands on, like how can you prove, what makes you a believer that I have the best hands? Like, what do what would I have to do?
You continually catch balls.
I think it'd be your stats of your ratio of catches to drops in a career. And a la Larry Fitzgerald, he had more tackles than he had drops.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
But see, that's like great level. I wouldn't even say that you have to do that to be good. You can do less than that and be good.
That's extraordinary. There's difference. Yeah. There's different levels.
Okay. Okay. I want to know that because this is going to be my last question, Tom, and this is going to roll us into our next subject. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So to make a believer out of something or someone,
mm-hmm.
what would it take, Tom, for? Let me see how I can say this.
$1 billion.
No, we already know what time, money, and how that.
Yeah, you know what I do for a Billy, baby. Come on now.
Okay, so if I'm trying to see how I can say this, because it's better for me to say it to Gary, but then Gary doesn't like questions like this. So it's
just like, say it like you would say it to Gary.
Okay. So I'm going to act like I'm talking to Gary and I'm just going to say it to you then, Tom. So Tom, what would make you a believer? And let's just say that a couple has been married 2-3 times each. What would make you a believer that this person is different from the other people that you dated or you gave that title to?
Okay.
So okay, your other two ex-wives or husbands, and this is your third one, what would make it different?
What would make it different?
To make what you believe that they're different.
The reason why I'm asking this question, and this is for everybody. The reason why I'm asking this question is because love is love. Whether I love you for your money, whether I love you for your looks, whether I love you for whatever reason I love you enough. So granted, I can love Tom, I married you, and I married you for your money. You ran out of money, I divorced you. I married Gary for his looks. He lost his looks, and like the next guy, no matter what it was that I drew you, that drew me to you, I'm asking you, what's making you a believer that
the next one's the right one?
Yeah, the next one is the right one.
As an outside person or as the person?
Yes, as an outside person.
As an outside person, I'm believing that you're telling me this person is the right one after I see them last longer than they your previous relationships.
But
that's what I would say.
You may not ever see that because, like, say you're married for 2 years and 5 years, so you got to wait 5 years to find out if they're the right one?
To see if they're different? Then, yeah, because at that point, they still have every opportunity to be the same. Until they've been different, I don't know that they're going to be different.
So I was told by my grandfather, God rest his soul, it was some very interesting advice, and I'm trying to put it to test. My grandfather said all women are the same and all men are the same systematically, and I did not agree with that. But he followed it up by saying, what you don't like in this woman or this man, you might like it in the next one, but might not like how I do it. I'll give you an example. Like the person that you're dating right now doesn't put the toilet seat down. The other one did it all the time, but doesn't put the toilet seat down. That infuriates you now to where y'all have conversations, negative conversations about other things that's going on in the house. Well, that doesn't happen in this new relationship. It's not the toilet seat. What this guy does or this woman does is they leave the car unlocked. And the car being unlocked now infuriates you enough to where now you having conversations about negative things that's going on in the relationship. So his whole point was, is that you're still going to have the same level of arguments that you was going to have with whatever woman it is, because that's the nature of you being together all the time.
Uh-huh.
Man and woman. Because he said if it wasn't true, then every married man's story wouldn't be the same. And every married woman wouldn't be the same in some capacity.
Mm. Okay.
So I was just, that's why I asked the question of what would make it different, because systematically they're all the same.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It would, you'd have to see a time difference. If you're saying, like I said, I'm not going to believe you're different until I see you're different. And until they've made it past the point of anything you've ever had before, I can't tell that they're different.
I'm still not believing they're different, even if it makes it past the time, because I think, well, because like you said, there's different things.
I know how you feel, Gary.
Well, I think part of it would be, like you said, everybody has like that something that causes arguments, whether it be like, leave the car unlocked, whether it leaving the toilet seat up, or too much salt in the food, things like that. So like there's always something. I think the only way I could ever believe it is if whatever that big thing is that bothers you is such a minuscule thing. And then I know it doesn't really bother you much. It's just a little bit of bothering. But if there's something that's really, really bothering you with all three of them, it's not going to work, because it's eventually going to come to a head. I think if that thing that turns into bothering you turns into such a minuscule thing, you don't mention it as often because it's so small, it doesn't bother you every time. It only bothers you occasionally. That's when I would start to maybe believe, because now, okay, you got something that you can actually deal with that you don't like, that default. Versus the other ones are super bother you. And if it's always going to, if something super bothers you at all, I'm never going to believe you. Because, yeah, you may last 6 years instead of that five. Yeah, you last the next year, but it still ended. There was a reason for it.
But at that point, it would have been different. It wasn't different
because it's still the same.
It was different in that you lasted longer. But it was not different in the fact that the end was the same.
It still ended, so I wouldn't believe that you're going to last. So I wouldn't believe you're going to actually last if there's still a huge lingering issue that you always have arguments about all the time. I think it's eventually going to come to a head, because at some point somebody's got to give, and that usually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
If it's that big of an argument, it usually doesn't happen. It usually causes breakups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wouldn't believe it. I think that's just from the outside looking, because I've seen a lot of that stuff too. Like, oh, these people are arguing. Well, they're probably not going to work long term, because it's a very big aspect, and one of them can't get over it. Because the thing is, one of them have to, or otherwise it's always going to be an issue.
Yeah, and we're not talking gender specific. We're talking about male and female.
Correct. It could be literally anybody.
Anybody.
Anything. Because everybody has their faults. Everybody.
Man. Every one of us. Every one of us. It's the ones that we can take, and the ones that we can't take will drive us insane.
It's just some have more, and they just happen to be women.
Well, and I think the toughest thing is realizing what your fault. If you're able to figure out what your fault is, and it's known, it makes things easier for people to deal with versus them being caught off guard and finding out on the fly.
So, Gary, what would you tell a woman your fault is?
I'm not emotional at all. You're not going to get emotion from me. You're not going to get it out of me. I'm never going to be emotional towards you. That's just not how I'm wired. It's not that I don't care. It's just it doesn't make sense in my brain. My brain doesn't process the same as others. You're not, and I'll tell anybody that up front. You either got to handle it or you can't. There's nothing I can do about it. That's not going to change. I've literally had tests done on my brain on how it works. The part that regulates emotion doesn't fire the same way other people's does. So I don't think the same, and I can't just fake
wild too. Because of it.
So that, ever, I know that's ever, a huge fault I have.
Have you ever cried?
Occasionally, but very rarely. It's more for movies, and it's dealing with animals, not a deal.
It's so emotions. Time. It's wild, bro. It is wild, bro.
I know that's a fault. I know it's hard for people to deal with, But like, I'm never going to lie about it. And but you have to either deal with it because that's all I know. That's all I can be.
I'm going to tell you how bad it is, Tom. And it's not bad. Well, I guess it's bad from my viewpoint. Like, I guess because Gary is so different, I wonder if like all white people are like him. Like, man.
But you know, time's not.
For the general population, because it is like, no, I'm talking about this whole animal thing. Uh-oh. Like, he can see a person get absolutely like decapitated and like be out of there, and he'll be like, dang, that sucks for him. Bro, he can see a bird fly.
No, I mean, be more of like a dog or a pet type thing. Something that's an emotional attack. I don't care if Bambi dies. I'm not, that's not going to bother me. But now, if I see a dog that's emotionally attached to a family, yeah, that's just different.
So you're
because
saying,
I can put myself in that position of losing my dogs.
So you're saying if, you know, if D'Angelo and his dog got into an accident and both of them passed away, you would cry over the dog, but not D'Angelo?
I actually honestly don't think I would cry.
I don't think you understand, bro. Like,
I process things differently.
Let me get you caught up to speed, Tom, because I don't think you understand this guy over here. He does not. Like, his processing of emotion is wild to me because he says some stuff, and I know when he says it, I'm like, ooh, they're going to take this the wrong way because this guy doesn't – he horrible at reading the room. Horrible at reading
the room. Oh, yeah, I can't read situations. Ah,
it is awful, Tom. Awful. Like, you know how bad it was when I was on that show.
I'm not saying it was as bad as you
want. Bro, it's way worse. It's way worse, bro. It's way worse. It's way worse. But it works for us because we're all like that. So
yeah.
So, but him, it's like what he genuinely has no idea. And we're like, bro, Gary, you can't say that. And he goes, well, it's not harmful. And then he go through the reasons why it's not harmful, but it makes sense, but you still like you still you can't say it.
Well, it's because I don't tie anything I say to an emotion aspect. So like when I explain something or ask something or ask a question, people be like, oh, that's not, you shouldn't be asked that. Like, but it doesn't make sense in my head. So I'm trying to figure out why this affects you, why it bothers you, why is this what because it doesn't make sense in my head of why it does. I'm trying to figure it out, but at time it can be seen as insensitive because I just want to know. I don't understand it. So I'm trying to get an understanding.
Gary's one of those kids, man, where, you know, the hands, when you have a question, the hands shoot up and you like, damn, I really want to pick this kid, but he's going to say something super stupid, but it's going to be very intellectual. It's going to be, you're going to be like, damn, it's going to make you think. And you're going to be like, damn, that was a really good question. But it was like, it's really, he has that type of capability when it comes to that. So I'm like, when he says some of the things, I'm like, damn, Gary, like that made it through your thought process, you filtered it, then it came out and you still said it. That's and he'll be like, yeah, I was finna say this, and I was like, ooh.
Oh Lord have mercy.
But it's just I know that's a fault I have, and it's not like it's coming from a bad place. It's because I don't understand. So I'm trying to figure it out and understand because I don't think the same way. So I'm trying to figure out why somebody does things like people will want reassurances on things. They may want like, oh, I want a reassurance. And I'm like, for what? I don't ever need a reassurance. It doesn't make sense. Like, I don't need to be told something to reassure me. So why do you need it? It doesn't comprehend in my brain. And then if I just say it just to make you happy, now I feel dirty in a way. I'm like, I just said something I don't mean. I don't understand. Like, that doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? And that's a very frustrating thing for people because I just say it.
Yeah. So I've sat in to one of Gary's conversations with one of his friends, and I was in the car.
What do you mean as a friend?
Well, friends? So Gary has friends that I'm not friends with. and we've had this conversation, and I don't want to get all sensitive about it, but he has friends that I'm not friends with, and I feel like as good a friend as I am, I need to know all his friends, but I don't. I don't. But I'm not going to get into that. That's not what we're talking about.
So is this where we openly invite D'Angelo to a fantasy football weekend so he can meet more of your friends?
He's been invited. He just never wants to come.
I won't come because I don't want to meet that friend base because I get jealous. I'm not going to do myself like that. I'm not going to do myself like that at all. And he knows it too. So that's why he always invite me, because I'm a jealous friend. I know it.
Apparently, there's a friend group in Boston that's all rich people that this friend group is jealous of too. So it's like there's tiers to Gary's friends group, and you're probably the richest one, and then it's his Boston friends, and then it's the peasants that come visit his compound in Florida.
It's funny. D actually, two of the Boston twins were in New Orleans when we were there, so he got to see them, and they went to dinner with us.
Yeah,
so he didn't like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell y'all something, and then we're gonna end this podcast after.
No, I got a question.
After I finish with the Gary thing and his friend, I was sitting in the back seat, and I'm listening to the conversation, and obviously, like, one party was getting emotional, and it was funny. Because Gary couldn't understand why the other party was getting emotional. So then that, and I was like, damn, this is like progressively getting bad. And I was like, I could really help right now, but I'm not finna get involved in this conversation because it's not my conversation. In fact, I probably don't even supposed to be hearing it. And I shouldn't be in this back seat, like when stuff is being said, like reacting to stuff, because then that opens me up to being put in the conversation. But yeah. I couldn't help it because Gary is Gary, and it was funny. It was absolutely hilarious because every time Gary would say something, he would have a point to why he was saying it.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy.
So you're like, it's better off if I just live and let live and just ignore it.
Well, it was kind of one of those things to where I'll give you a perfect example. If I told you, Tom, that, hey, next Saturday, not this Saturday, in 2 weeks, next Saturday at 7 p.m., we're going to do something. We're going to hang out, right?
Okay.
Gary's not one of those that's going to contact you every day and let you know. On that day, he's going to be ready at that
right.
time.
Yeah.
He's not going to call you for reassurance. He ain't going to follow back up. If anything changes in his schedule, he gonna let you know, but if nothing changes in his schedule, he'll never talk to you again until that day.
And then if you forget, he'll text you and be like, "Where
Absolutely.
Were you?
I was at like, damn, bro, you didn't remind me to follow up. Why should I have to do all that when you agreed to something already?"
Right.
That's how he is.
It's just rational thinking. It's logical. It's, in my mind, that makes complete sense.
So how do you tell me, Tom, how do you fight that? Like he said, but you agreed to this. You told me. So because I didn't call you and follow up with you over the months and the weeks and the days, it's my fault?
Yeah. I
you see
know.
What I'm saying? Like, you can't fight that, Tom.
I get it.
But like, normal people don't operate like that. You follow up, you reassure, you make sure like, hey, we still on for next week in some right. conversation, right?
Right.
That's not him. That's not him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Why do I need to? You made the plans. I don't need to reach back out. I'll be there.
Well, this will be a good little segue to what I have to ask, because it's dealing with making plans and. So just to let you know, D, I'm coming to North Carolina tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm coming to North Carolina for a wedding. A friend of the podcast, Stan Drews, is getting married this weekend.
Is this his first one?
Yes, it's his first one.
Okay.
His first marriage. And so he said y'all could sell me your wedding gifts and I'll get those to him.
If he would have sent us a wedding invite, maybe we would have zelled him a gift. But you know,
wow. See, here you go.
Yeah, obviously, he doesn't care about the podcast enough. We can't get wedding invites. We've had him on our podcast. We can't even get invited to the wedding.
And yeah, we didn't even know he was getting married. We don't even know. Like, I mean, Like, is it a guy, girl? You didn't kind of.
Well, I mean, you know,
we don't know what his flavor drink is.
Coca-Cola, that's his flavor drink. But
you see what I did there?
Yeah. So I got a question based off this wedding. So our friend group had a very interesting couple years. It's been a little while since it happened now. So one of our friends, who's a girl, started dating this guy, right? And they got engaged. So during that time, you know, we all became friends with her fiance, right? Mm-hmm. Well, her fiance is a really big Carolina fan, just like Stan Drews, and, you know, is a big sports guy. So, you know, they bonded a lot. And so obviously, you know, he's really good friends with this guy. Well, this couple ends their engagement. They move in together, buy a house together, are engaged, not married yet. This couple ends their engagement. So my question to you is, who can Stan Drews invite to the wedding? Can he invite?
Man, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm speaking for me and Gary both when we say this. I'm inviting both of them. I don't give I don't care what y'all have and what kind of differences y'all have with each other. I don't give a damn. If you, I use this as a great litmus test. I have a cousin right now, bro. She cannot hold her tongue. Every time she talked to family members or to whoever, she always cussed them out. She's always been known as the crazy cousin. Well, I'm gonna tell you something about the crazy cousin. When the crazy cousin go to work, crazy cousin ain't so crazy. She know how to act right and she know how to talk to people. Shock me. I'm like, damn, you got that type of filter? Like filtration system? So I know if you could do it at work and you're not like that all the time, then you could do it anywhere. If you can work with the people that you dislike or that has run you right crazy and you got to see them every day or date them and you can work with them and you can be cordial in front of them, you could take your ass to a wedding of some mutual friends and be cool for that hour or 2 hours, enjoy somebody else's happiness and not think about your own.
Mm. D, it's not Sunday yet. What you doing out here preaching?
That's all I'm saying. That's how I feel. I don't know how I was trying to speak for both.
So you don't give any precedent to the friend you had first?
Look, man, I'm telling you right now, and I'm inviting friends, girlfriends, wives, all of them. If it's a three-pack deal, all of them getting invited if we friends. Y'all work that shit out when y'all get here. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Well, and I think the prime example, like you and I have no problem with both of them being invited. I think they both should be. If you're friends with both of them, then yes. And like, why it should, neither one of them should care, because it's not about them. It's about the person's wedding you're going to. So it's supposed to be for them. Y'all don't have to see each other. Y'all don't have to talk to each other. Like, and if you make it about yourself, then obviously you're not close enough friends with that person to put all that nonsense aside for that day.
And I'm going to tell you something else that I do now. If you got to ask me who all going to be there, don't come. Don't come. I tell my family members and my friends that all the time. When I be like, hey, man, you coming? Oh, yeah, I'm going to come, man. Who all going to be there? Don't come, man. Don't even, if that's the energy you coming with, don't come. Just stay at home.
I like that rule.
You ain't even got to deal with it. You ain't even got to deal with it. Don't even worry about it. But what I'm not going to do is keep people off my list because you may or may not come. I'm inviting everybody.
Well, yeah, it's like anything, even if it's like a party, whatever, you know, they don't have to deal with them. No, like, you don't have to be drama. Just let go. You got invited because their relationship, like you said, with Stan Drew's relationship with the guy and the girl, he has a different relationship with both. That doesn't mean he has to stop being friends with the other one. If whatnot happens, like fine. They're friends.
I'm gonna give you an example, and Gary know this. I have a friend that we have a friend group. There's a bunch of us in this friend group. Well, one of our friends was married to this lady. Well, they got divorced, and I'm not sure what happened, but they got divorced, and as a result of them getting divorced, some of the wives didn't want their husband talking to the guy. Because mm-hmm. they was just like, hey, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be, man, I call that man down there every day. Because my thing is, damn, he lose friends too. Like, I don't.
If they're is there a sin that if somebody can commit that's like, okay, yeah, I can't be that person's friend over the other person? Like,
yes,
if they cheated on
100%. Yeah, 100%. What type of stuff? If messing with kids, we can't be friends.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that I can accept, and there's a lot of things that I can't accept.
I think domestic violence would be another one.
That's another one. That's another one.
What about cheating?
Cheating is whatever. People do that all the time.
That doesn't bother me at all. It ain't my life.
So if one of your best friends' girl cheated on her, but you're friends with her, you would still invite that girl to the wedding if you're friends, even though she cheated on your best friend?
100%. I'm going to tell you something about me, and this is the truth. If my best friend, at my core, I'm going to say my core, if any of my core have any like chick or anything or man outside of them and they out doing something, I'm going to tell them. However they handle it is how they handle it. Now, the next time I see him, I'll never say anything to my core again, because that's just me beating a dead horse. There's no point in me. That's obviously what he like. I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm going to check on him, make sure he good, or check on her and make sure she good. And after that, there's no point in me trying to direct my friend's life. I know what they can put up with and what they won't put up with. If Gary was like, hey, man, I appreciate that. Like, let's just say it was Gary and it was one of his chicks, and I told him, he was like, oh, yeah, I ain't putting up with that shit. He handled it how he handled it. If she called me and be like, you told Gary? Yeah, yeah, I told him. Shit, I tried to take some pictures. Yeah, video. And I'm going to let them know, like, hey, I'm that friend. Like, oh, yeah, you. I'm going to let them know. After I let them know, I'm not broadcasting it to everybody. It's just going to be a conversation between me and him. Like, hey, I saw it look kind of fishy. You might want to address it. And that'll be the last time I say something to him about it. Because as a friend, if I say too much about it, then it sounds like I'm interested. And I'm not.
Mm. You hear this, Andrew?
What about you, G?
No, like I agree. Like I have, if somebody wants to cheat, that they're going to do that anyways. Like there's nothing you could do it about. I do think a part of it would play like if they were in a relationship for 2 months and I had known the other person for 2 months, I probably wouldn't because I don't have that close relationship. But if they've been together for like 4 years and I've been friends with them for 4 years, I don't care what happens. If they cheat, whatever, I'm still friends with both because that's a long-term relationship. Now, if it was like 6 months, I can see you not wanting to invite one of them that you weren't super close with because of it. But like if you get super close with them, I think it depends on the level of friendship you have with those people. And I don't think cheating is something that – it's not something you should do, and it's not something I would ever say anybody should do and forgive. True. I don't think you forgive, but like, it's also not going to not let me invite you because, hey, maybe things weren't going good in the relationship. You were over it, and that's why you strayed, and that's why the relationship ended. Like, I don't know what happened in y'all's relationship. I don't know how your relationship was. I only know by the surface of what y'all show. I don't know what the true relationship was.
And see, that's the thing. That's what people don't understand. I don't know what couples are going through behind closed doors. That's why I'm not diving into their business outside of those closed doors. That's why I say it one time. Hey, this happened. I saw this. And I'm not bringing rumors to anybody. Tom, you can call me and say, hey, man, I saw Gary girl out with so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm not calling Gary with that because I can't prove that. I have to see it for myself before I bring it to them. Like, hey, like if you hear ramblings, rumors are rumors, but I got to see it for myself. Very similar to Bigfoot and all these other things that's happening in the world. Once I see it for myself and it's confirmed, they know for a fact when I come to them, like, hey.
So you're a skeptic in all walks of life.
You talking about Gary?
Well, I know Gary's a skeptic, but I mean, you're part of the show.
No. I'm not a skeptic at all. And when we're talking about this, we're talking about like friends. Like what I'm not sleeping with them. What decisions they make in bed and who they choose to bed with, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I can only speak on how they are as friends with me. Mm-hmm. And if they friends with me and they good friends with me, shit, y'all just gotta work it out. I don't like any of Gary's none of them. I don't like none of them because they're Gary friends.
I take away time from him.
Yeah, I tell him that all the time. I tell them that. And he know that. But, hey, that's just who I am.
Well, at least you're honest.
And when I come to his house, I don't even hang out with him. I hang out with his dad.
Exactly. I don't even see him. It's me and his wife hanging out with the kids.
So here's my next question on that. Say both friends come to the wedding.
Can who?
Both of the friends come to the wedding. Are they obligated to introduce anyone they're with to their ex?
No. So this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. Because I did it.
Same table.
I will continue to give this advice. What you do is you call them and talk to each one of them, tell them how much you love them, and you can't believe that this is your special day. Because I love doing stuff like this, Gary, tell them how this is your special day and you can't wait to see them there, and invite both parties. And the party that don't show up is the one that don't care about you.
Laying some facts out there.
I'm just saying, man. I mean, if you love me, shit, it don't matter who show up. I ain't got to talk to them.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I don't think why would anybody be obligated to show the new person you're with to the other your ex? That's just, to me, you're just trying to show off or something. I think that's stupid.
Here's
the thing though. Ain't nobody getting plus one though. Ain't nobody getting plus one. Ain't no plus one, bro. Ain't no plus one.
Even if they moved on to a new relationship.
Let me tell you how selfish my friend's wedding was. Like me, when I got Gary can tell you it was all tailored around us. not us and like our family members, and it was us, just Gary, just Romeo, just everybody in my party. It was just them, not their wife and kids. And we all knew it. Because I told them, like, it's us. Was it not, Gary?
Correct.
Yes. So if anybody have any problems, I don't care. Because it's y'all going to sit together. And you right, Gary. I would have sat them together. Like, hey, hey. Y'all didn't have a plus one, so I had to sit y'all together.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well,
make some last minute changes, Stan Drew.
Stan Drew's agreed with y'all, and he won't want to think. It was just one of the parties was a little upset that they weren't chosen as the one.
But so. he did choose both though, right?
He invited both, so he put it on them.
Do they both show?
No, because the one, the girl who was upset that the other one was getting invited, she kind of went on a little pity party and, neglected. She, like, defriended multiple people on Facebook and just kind of, she was in her feelings for a little bit. I think they've worked it out now. But at this point he's like, hey, we already had to turn in all the numbers. We can't add anybody at this point. Sorry.
And just think, we've had him on this podcast all the time and we couldn't get that invite, D.
Didn't even get the invite, man. That's what's crazy. People that ain't even together no more, Gary, don't even want to be seen together and don't even want to accept the invite. We would have gladly accepted it.
Thanks, Stan Cruz. Y'all have been there.
Thanks, man. Would have been there. Would have.
We just done a live broadcast from the reception too, but here he is. He didn't want to. He didn't want the wedding to be great.
Man,
he's just holding us back.
All right. Well, that would be a good place to stop because Stanford's probably crying right now, realizing that he could have had a legend of football, Gary Barnage, at his wedding, and D'Angelo. But until next time, we'll be back with another episode.
Can I give Stanford's just some? Tip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why just real quick, Stan Drews, eat before the wedding.
There you go.
Because you will not be able to eat during the reception because everybody, I don't know where that comes from, Gary, where everybody want to come up and congratulate you. I know everybody happy. I know everybody want to congratulate me. I feel like everybody should just come in unison and say congratulations. And so not everybody.
I thought everybody did that after you do the kiss and husband and wife. Everybody congratulates you there. You don't need. The funniest thing to me is how at the reception you walked every freaking table to see, hey, everybody. That is, blows my mind.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for coming. I appreciate it. They RSVP'd. Of course they came. Right. It doesn't make sense. Again, another thing that doesn't make sense to me. They RSVP'd. They should be here. I shouldn't have to go say hi to you. Thanks for coming. I expected you to be here.
He said, of course they came. They RSVP'd.
Like, logic.
Well, what that's your only pro tip, D? That's your biggest one?
That's the only pro tip.
All right. Well, and then also, I need one of y'all to plug Skeptic real quick, because this last one was probably one of the best.
Yeah, so if you want to join the side of skeptics like me, who don't believe in anything like the paranormal or Bigfoot or any of that stuff, or you can join D's believing side.
You can join the believing side, and you can answer a question that Tom and Gary wasn't able to answer, is what will it take for you to believe? Correct. And I think that these episodes, and if you know you can stomach it, you want to come out and you want to be a part, you know, you can come out and you can see how we do it, and you can see for yourself.
I will say we've had multiple people said they could do it. They come and then they get super scared when they're going by themselves. But if you want to see what we're talking about, skeptic.unknown on YouTube, type in skeptic unknown. You'll see it. Our new episode of Bobby Mackey's dropped and very interesting things happened. I will say that it was fun and we have some more working on now. And we actually will be at a paranormal con this weekend.
Oh, so y'all wouldn't be able to make the wedding anyway, Standard. See, look, don't let them lie to you. They wouldn't have been able to make it there at a paranormal con.
Well, we could have changed. We wouldn't have went to the con, but we didn't get invited.
I got it. Hey, and we need to get time on one of them episodes. I'm tired of y'all keeping me behind the curtain.
I have no problem with you getting scared and running out like everybody else says they won't do, and they do.
I'm in that thing.
We don't want to add another name to your time, and it's short time.
My girl already made that my nickname, so you ain't gotta worry about that. But we appreciate y'all tuning in for another episode of the Cinnamon Sugar Podcast. Until next time,
you are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage.